reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. If you want to follow in the Bibles, it's on the first page. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Psalm 8, on page 546, if you want to, in the Bibles. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Highlight some aspect of ministry that's either going on within the parish that you might not have heard about, or by somebody outside the parish. And I'd like to invite Roxanne to come up. And tell us about a ministry that I think, and I don't know how long it's been going on for, but it's been going on for some time.
Thank you. I think it's about 10 years. I'm afraid I forgot to check. I have the privilege of being able to take home communions to people in this parish, only in this parish. And when Castle Court opened, a lady moved in there who was blind and quite deaf, but she was able to respond one-to-one, and she asked for communion. So somebody in this church gave her name to me, and so I visited her until she moved into a care home. And then that time, Jan Bradford, who I'm sure a lot of people will remember, was in Castle Court, and he was really keen to start a meeting of some sort. But before we managed to start the communion, he'd had to move out. This happens a lot in Castle Court. Castle Court's in Hadlow Road. It's a retirement flats. It's a huge building, but it's very beautiful. It's a bit like going into a hotel when you go in. It's very smart. and the flats are very, very attractive. And the good thing about it is that they have a big dining room downstairs where they can have lunch together, and also what they call a conference room, which is a smaller room next door, which we were allowed to use for the communion. And so we invited people in, one or two who couldn't get to church because they were disabled in some way, others who were able to go to church but were happy to come along as companions to make it like a sort of mini church. So we started that. Juliet Roberts helped me to start with, which was lovely. And now it's Sally and I. And over the years, we've had, I think there's only been one time, once a month we go, once only, I think, nobody came. But otherwise, there's been someone who's come every single time, which is amazing. And just lately, the last 2 weeks, we've had a dozen people, which is so exciting, really lovely. And the great thing about it is that there's one particular lady who's, she's like a mother hen. She absolutely loves everybody and gets them along. And the ones who are forgetful, of which there are several, she'll go along and say it's time for the communion, and so that they don't forget that they're meant to be coming. There's one lady who's always goes to sleep at that time of day, but they know that, so they wake her up. But they've been so lovely because they care for each other. And one of the things we do it's just a shortened form of the communion. And one of the things we do for the prayers is to share ideas, any one particular thing that each of them would like to share. And then I actually do the praying bit because it would just get a bit too complicated for that many to pray all together. But the end of the last one, they just felt as though there was a real unity among that group and a real caring. And they really care for the other people, the ones who don't come. They look out to them. They're not all necessarily, you know, clear about every part of their faith, but they're very faithful. In coming, and we've had one or two men arrive now, which is lovely, and people who have had really quite sad moments in their lives, but the other ones are there to support them, and they're able to share it a bit in our group. So it's just a lovely thing to be able to do, and I hope maybe there are other people who would be able to do it. You have to be kind of licensed, don't you, by the bishop or something. I'm a pastoral assistant, that's why I was able to do this, but it's just good to be able to tell you about it. Thank you.
Speak, be those you once spoken, and may each of our eyes and ears, hearts and minds be open to you afresh this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do take a seat. Are the lights particularly bright up here this evening? I feel like I'm in the spotlight. Now, some of you may or may not have heard of an organisation called Faith in Business. This is an organisation who seek to affirm the role of business in God's purpose and to explore how the Christian faith can be applied within the values of a business. Now, I came to know about them because their former director was one of my tutors at Ridley Hall when I was training in Cambridge. And a former student also had a key role in the research and presentation work of the organisation and still does. She's an incredibly passionate lady who was a fashion entrepreneur and is now a curate. Now, I'm mentioning this as I recently heard an interview she held with Gary Grant, who's the founder of the Entertainer Toy Store. Now, the Entertainer is one of the best companies, according to the Sunday Times, to work for. Gary became a Christian in 1991, and he strongly believes that the Sabbath should be observed. And he's also selective about the products that he sells. He believes that a day with the family for all of his staff is important, and that that day should be a Sunday, not a movable feast. And the Entertainer stores still do not open on a Sunday. He believes that honesty is a priority And as I said, he's careful with the toys that he sells and what he endorses to the children that they are bought for. For instance, he doesn't now sell Halloween merchandise. He speaks about the principles he upholds and shares with all those that work for him. These he calls RIG, R-I-G, reputation, integrity, and generosity. And these are the words he holds in everything that he puts forward and proposes. Now today we are continuing to look at stewardship and how we use our resources, perhaps financial ones, for God's glory. Resources, however, come in many, many forms. And the illustration that I shared with you is of a successful businessman who came to faith, and his faith had an impact on the way that he ran his business. In fact, he tells a story of the time when his stores did sell Halloween products, and a lady approached him and asked him, "Why would you promote darkness in the lives of children?" At the time, he wasn't a Christian, and business was business. It was how he made his money. But this conversation later came back to him, and when he became a Christian, he realized his walk with Jesus needed to reflect in the whole of his life, including his business. How does walking with Jesus affect the way we use the resources that we have been given? I'm sure you may have all heard of the young girl called Greta Thunberg. She's passionate about the environment. She first heard about climate change when she was just 8 years old. She was given advice on how she could help fight climate change, but couldn't understand why she didn't hear about it as such this huge threat to our environment and to our existence. Why she didn't hear about it on every news channel, every newspaper, and every source of media possible. When she was 11, she became very ill. She was diagnosed with selective mutism, Asperger's, and OCD. She only speaks when she feels like it's necessary. And climate change is one of those times when she feels that it's necessary. To her, things are black and white, and she cannot understand why change isn't happening and why it isn't happening quickly. She speaks clearly on justice and the environment. She's passionate and she's eloquent. She is using her resources. She is using how she has been made, how she was created. Some may see Asperger's, mutism, and OCD as difficulties, as an excuse, as a reason why not to do things. Her ability, however, means that she's able to remember facts and figures and to see things very clearly, in a very black and white way. And this has driven her to speak about climate change. She breaks down the gentle chitter-chatter about making a difference, and she speaks out for action to bring hope. She says that hope will only come through action. Her talk is powerful and it's moving, and if you haven't already heard it, I would Google it. It's really powerful to hear who is now a 16-year-old girl from Sweden speaking very clearly about climate change. She went on to organise school strikes on a Friday, whether you agree with that or not, and she's described as an activist for climate change. At 8 years old, this girl, facing challenges of her own, saw that there was an injustice happening on the planet in which she was to grow up. She was to grow up in this planet, and she decided to stand up and make a difference. She used those abilities to speak up and not stay quiet, to state the facts and speak powerfully, opening opportunities for young people to become more aware of the issues facing their future, as well as the emerging leaders. As the leaders that we have, she urged them to sit up and take notice. So there we have Gary and Greta, two very different people, two very different situations. Gary openly speaking about the effect his faith has on the way he runs his business, and Greta speaking about the world entrusted into our care and our responsibility to it. So when we think about resources, financial or otherwise, how are we, as Christians, using them to reflect God's glory? And our passage from Genesis today begins with, "Then God." We are told God has already spent 5 days creating light and dark, waters and the sky, the land and vegetation, the day and night, and the seasons, the living creatures. And then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness." Created in his image. There is so much packed into this passage that we could spend all night unpacking it, and longer, I'm sure. But tonight, we focus on the fact that we are made in God's image. We, humankind, man and woman, are here on earth to reflect his glory. He blessed them. God made them and he blessed them. He said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Fill the earth with more of you, because all that he made was in his image and was good. God saw everything he made and it was good. Be like God on earth. You who were made in his image, blessed by him, take care of all that has been created and rule the earth as he commanded." Everything he made, he saw, and it was good. God created the fish in the sea, birds in the air, the cattle, the wild animals of the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, there may be times where you wish that he didn't create all the creeping things on the earth, but he did, and I'm sure that they have a purpose. And although we didn't have fish and birds and cattle today at the animal, so at the pet service, we did have quite a few dogs, a hamster, and a tortoise. And we saw a little bit of God's creation in our church, including the humans that brought them. He created the food we would need to sustain us. He gave humankind dominion over it all. Humankind, which was to multiply, to reproduce, to have dominion over all and subdue all that he had been provided. Just three jobs humankind was given. One, to reproduce. Two, to leave the garden and fill the whole earth. And three, to be masters of the land and all that was in it. Now, the earth hasn't stopped progressing, but it has been affected by sin. And we don't have to read too far on into Genesis to come to the story of the fall. The time when sin entered into that place that had been created by God, and the relationship between man and God changed. Man became afraid because of his actions and he hid from God. They had not followed God's command. The relationship that was there at the beginning with God was changed. Now, this may have been changed, but all that had been created, that was given in the very beginning, wasn't taken away. We still had and we still have the responsibility to reflect God's glory. In the beginning, humankind was asked to take care of God's world, and this too hasn't changed. The command after the fall to take care of God's creation hasn't changed. The command to reproduce wasn't taken away. The command to look after the land hasn't changed. Sin, however, has affected it, and of course, childbirth is painful. Looking after the land will be hard work. We won't live in the same harmony as we were intended to, and we will all die. Out of dust you were taken, and to dust you will return. Adam and Eve were driven out of that garden. The command, or the commission, to take care of the world was and is still in the hands of humankind. The command to reflect God's glory into the world is still the responsibility given to humankind. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We see that in Mark. How are we to be stewards in God's kingdom? How are we to care for the world we have been given? How are we to reflect God's glory and speak out the good news? We're in a period in the church calendar called Creation Tide, and in a few weeks' time we'll be focusing on that specifically here in church. And I do encourage all of us to sit up and take note. The world isn't going to change with apathy, but instead it will change with action, and we all have a responsibility. It's in this period of Creation Tide that we are encouraged to focus on God as our creator and as our sustainer of all life. And we've looked at this creation story tonight, and our creator, all that he gave us and the directive he gave us to take care of it, to rule over it, to be stewards of this wonderful world he has entrusted into our care. Now, quite a few weeks ago now, I went on a camp with the church to Cold Harbour Meadows. And this reluctant camper here was utterly blown away by the beauty of God's creation, slightly helped by the fact that it was 33 degrees and it didn't rain. The weather was definitely on our side this year. And in the evening, because it was so warm, we were able to sit up and look at the stars. The skies were so clear that the stars were just stunning, absolutely amazing. And it reminded me of just how small we are in God's incredible creation. How these seemingly tiny, tiny stars in that vast expanse of sky and are so, so far away, we can barely comprehend how far away they are. The children had, I don't know if any of you have got it, but an app that they were able to hold up to the sky, and it told you what constellations there were in the sky, so they were able to point out the different skies. The children's faces were just amazing, and there we are, just a tiny, tiny part of that creation. Who are we that God is mindful of us? Who are we that God cares for us? Who are we that God put us in charge of the works of his hands? We heard that this evening in Psalm 8. We are cared for by our Creator, who imagined and created something which, when we realize just how tiny we are in it, cannot be anything but blown away by the fact that he chose us, me and you, each one of us, to be responsible for its care. Stewardship comes with responsibility. And finally, we are to focus on God, the sustainer of all life. He provides for us, he has provided for us, and he will continue to provide for us. And we must be conscious of what we do with that gift. It's been handed into our hands, provision for all, and we need to be conscious of what we do with it. Greta, who I mentioned earlier, overcame many challenges in her small life so far, but they haven't stopped her from speaking out. Gary stood up against the norm in business and agreed not to promote darkness and agreed to keep the Sabbath holy. Whether we are blessed with financial resources, whether we are blessed to be an entrepreneur as Gary, whether we are blessed with an ability to remember information as Greta does, what we do with it is what matters. You will have your own individual God-given resource, and these are what you need to use to make a difference as a steward in God's kingdom. Amen.